Good afternoon.
That's the last time I'm going to mention time of day. Amen.
So, if you would, be turning your Bibles over to Luke chapter 13. And as you may look behind me and see, there is a narrow door on the screen. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. That's the topic of our message, my sermon, however you want to call it, the narrow door. You know, we're going to continue. We actually are doing a series this month on marching to the cross. And it all ends up on Resurrection Sunday. Okay, when Jesus rose from the dead. That's after our Friday meditation on the cross. But we're every week this month on Sunday, we're going to be talking about different ways that Jesus decided to resolutely go to Jerusalem. And I want to share with you a story about being resolute. I came home about 2 days ago, and my daughter decided she wanted to have this resolute feeling in her body, right? So she's outside the playground having a good time, which is right outside our back screen door. And she's, you know, April's watching her through the screen, and she's thinking, you know, I'm done playing. I want to come inside. Well, screens don't make a difference. They're just in the way. You know, and screen door, you only open it wide enough to get through. So the door's probably open wide enough to get through, but the screen wasn't. So as Jesus was resolute on getting to Jerusalem, she was resolute on getting in the house, okay? So down came the screen door, and here comes Autumn through the opening in the narrow door. So with that being said, you know, I think in our hearts, you know, we can also have that resolute feeling that Jesus had and that resolute determination to go where God is calling us to go. In Luke 9:51, it talks about Jesus being resolutely set on going to Jerusalem. But we're going to pick up in Luke 13, as I shared with you a minute ago, beginning in verse 22, the narrow door. Luke 13, beginning in verse 22. Said, then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he'll answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from the east and the west, north and the south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and those who are first will be last. We'll start right there for now. Let's look at this for a minute. Jesus told them to make every effort through obedience to enter through the narrow door. The contrast to this is in Matthew 7:13. You can write that down. We're going to turn there. But it says, for the wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. The point is, many will try different ways to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you've been taught, maybe just believing in Jesus is enough, or just saying a good prayer, or what I like to call wishful obedience. It's like, I wish I could be obedient. I know what to do, but I'm not doing it. I'm just thinking about it. You know, it's a good thing to do. the problem is, unless we have a careful study of the scriptures and really understand what it is that Jesus is calling us to, we don't understand what it means to follow him, to be obedient. You know, I challenge you to be a Berean when it comes to the scriptures, to study your word, to understand what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to enter the kingdom of God? And allow God to reveal that narrow way, that narrow door to you. Just a freebie, Acts 17:11. That'll tell you a little bit about Bereans, okay? I do not believe that one of us wants to be those that are standing outside the kingdom of God, weeping, gnashing our teeth, pounding on the door, hoping, praying to get in. My encouragement is to make a decision now, to be resolute about following Jesus in your pursuit of seeking after Jesus on his terms and not your own terms. You know, the unfortunate reality is we don't have forever to decide to follow Jesus or obey his teachings. You know, I had a friend when I was 25, just a few years ago, and you know, he gave me a phone call on an evening, on a Friday night, and he told me, he said, you know, man, I found out within that week's time that he had heart failure and kidney failure. And so at this point, he called me, he said, man, could you pray for me? I'm going to the hospital. I have to have a defibrillator put in my heart. 25. And the thing that was so challenging about it is I couldn't pray for him because I couldn't even get up the words to say, God, you know, could you? I was like, we went to high school. This is my best friend, roommate in college. And I'm like, no way. And, you know, he did have the surgery. Again, being younger, you think, man, you know, he could probably, things should work out pretty well. Unfortunately, after they did put the defibrillator in, it never took. And for about 3 weeks, he sat literally with just this angioplasty over his chest because they never closed him back up. And within about a three-week time period, he passed. And right probably 2 days before, he asked me to come to the hospital and just spend some time with him and talk to him and pray with him. And I did, and I'm just thinking like, man, you got to pull through. I mean, you have to. But that wasn't the plan. I mean, and when we're younger, this is 25, I mean, he's just out of his teens, I'm just throwing it out there. And he's thinking, man, life is ahead of me. But it wasn't. What today is hindering you from resolutely deciding to follow Jesus? Is it your career? Is it family situations or matters? Or just indecisiveness? I don't know, maybe, you know, I need some time to think about it. Or is it your plan versus God's plan? Or this is what I call Satan's favorite lie. Don't worry. You got plenty of time. Let's take a look at how Jesus viewed those who didn't choose to follow the narrow path and his heart in the situation. Turn your Bible over to Luke chapter 13. We're going to continue on here. We're looking at Luke. We're all in Luke today. Just Luke. We're walking with Jesus here. So Luke 13, 31. The scripture reads, it says, at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, go tell that fox I will drive out demons and heal people today, tomorrow, and the third day I'll reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I long to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I'm going to read verse 35 from the Amplified Bible. It says, listen carefully. Your house is left to you desolate, abandoned by God and destitute of his protection. And I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed, to be celebrated with praise, is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus cried out for those who rejected him, those who killed the messengers that he sent to tell them about him. Man, he was feeling it when he saw these people saying, you know what, we don't need Jesus. These people were looking for a political ruler. They're looking for somebody to come in and just save the day because they're getting oppressed by the Romans. They're thinking in their minds, man, we're good. I mean, we got our spiritual, you know, cap taken care of. I mean, God is on our side. Unfortunately, they missed what was right before them. And it was so bad that even their children were misled. And couldn't understand all the things they learned growing up. They heard the prophecies about Jesus. They heard the Old Testament pointing to Jesus and talking about Jesus. But their views were skewed because of even what those that were older didn't do when it came to following Jesus or really being obedient to God's word. And so I look at this and I'm like, man, do I have the same compassion that Jesus had? Man, do I have compassion when I see, I know, or even I just want to find out about somebody who may or may not have a relationship with Jesus? What's hindering me? What's stopping me from opening my mouth, sharing my testimony? I want to share with you something out of Matthew 23. This is our one jump back verse. When Jesus looked at these same people, we call these the religious folks, he said something to them. To this day, I'm still like, wow, they put that in the Bible? Yes. Matthew 23, verse 27. This is Jesus' view of someone who is impersonating a true believer of Jesus. Woe to you, teachers of the law, and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Wow. The fact is, Jesus was exposing what was really in their hearts. Jesus wants to expose what's really in our hearts, too. This is the difference in someone who gets exposed and gets mad versus somebody who gets exposed and responds. Jesus wants us to respond humbly. But unfortunately, we tend to have excuses that hinder our response to be the way that Jesus wants us to be. And since we're talking about excuses, that'll be my first point. Excuses hinder us. Let's continue on in Luke 14, verse 15. Excuses hinder us. Luke 14, beginning in verse 15. The great banquet, or as I like to say, I heard somebody say the other day, the mega party. All right? Verse 15, it says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God? Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent out a servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. How about that? Excuses hindering us from entering the kingdom, from getting to the... I mean, who makes an excuse to come to dinner? Really? Come on. Good party, good food, good fellowship. But I was looking at this and a couple of things stuck out to me. It says they all. So everybody that was invited had an excuse. They all, in the Greek, is atomias. Had a good ring to it. I don't miss. But the fact that they point out the fact that they incorporated a very large group of people. And these are their excuses. I bought a field. I made a new purchase. Gotta go drive my new car. I got some things to do. I haven't figured out all the bells and whistles yet. Maybe I bought some oxen to plow my field. I got to try out my new equipment. I mean, I just got, this new, camper, to hook up behind my truck. We got to go camping this weekend. I have time, I'll catch you next time. As I studied this out a bit, this came to mind for me. His heart, the gentleman who made these excuses or the people who were making these excuses, it was about enlarging his estate. Making his stuff more. And the fact is, he couldn't even be considerate enough to come to the dinner he'd been invited to. He had to make excuses. And the thing is, even for myself, and maybe for us, it could be the things that we want today in this world that the TV promotes to us, that the is you're on the internet, they keep flashing stuff of new, better, best. And we pursue it so tough that, man, when God is trying to get our attention, we're distracted with our stuff. Not that stuff is bad, but when stuff comes in place of God, it's bad. When there's so much stuff in our life, we can't even hear the invitation to understand what the gospel really means. And how about this third situation? I just got married. I will not come. Now, think about that for a minute, right? In Deuteronomy 24, it talks about in your first year of marriage for a Jewish man, he can't go to war for a year. That makes sense. Well, who say you can't go to a meal? Really? And the thing about it, during this time period, or even when this was being written, it was an underlying point here that the Jewish men had to go to a certain banquet every year, regardless of what was going on in their life. It was one feast that they needed to go to. It was required. So this guy is saying, man, I'm married now, and, hey, I got things to do. so I can't make it. Let's put this in today's perspective. Relationships that we're involved with sometimes hinder us from really pursuing or seeking God at the level we need to. Or if we are seeking God, or we're disciples of Jesus, and we're like, man, we're fired up. Man, are these relationships distracting us from what God is really calling us to, or how he wants us to live? My question to each of us is, what excuse is hindering you from entering God's kingdom or being fired up to be in God's kingdom? Is it that relationship, or is it some financial duress that's going on in your life? Is it materialism? I got to have this, I got to have that, God, he expects me to be sacrificial or giving, and, thank you, Nick. That was a great job that you did. Just give him perspective. It's not all about our money. It's about our time, our heart, and our commitment to what God has given us, and just being able to give it back and encourage others with what he's blessed us with, be it in our richness or in our poverty. Or the other thought I had, and this was just something that popped in my head that could hinder us from entering God's kingdom or being fired up as one of his children. Maybe it's that whole religious pride. Man, I got it all together. I'm good. I mean, you can't teach me anything. I've read through the Bible, Genesis, and hey, I'm good. Or maybe you read the whole thing. I don't know. But man, is that enough? As I went through the scripture, I noticed it says God was, just so you know, the master of the house is God. Okay, I'm not going to assume that. That's who this is. He was angered by the lack of response to the people who were already invited. They're just like, I got things to do, He's like, no, I already invited you. You got the red carpet treatment. And you over there wallowing in the mud. So God says, don't worry. I'm going to fill up the table. Regardless, he will find those who want to receive the gift of the kingdom of God. And for us, at times I think that even as a disciple, I think, I don't think I could be one that could either hinder or deter somebody from really wanting to pursue God. No way. I love Jesus. And everybody around me knows it, right? Okay, well, this leads me to my next point. Sometimes we'll judge people before we even open our mouth, find out about their lives or anything. Our judging hinders others from entering the narrow door. Look over in Luke chapter 15. We'll pick it up in Luke 15, beginning in verse 1. Luke 15, verse 1. I hope this is encouraging you. If you're, you're feeling like, man, what are you talking about, preacher man? That's okay. We can talk more about it later. Let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 15 here. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around him to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Really? Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls or texts his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Start right there for a minute. Now Jesus is preaching, man, you religious folks stop people from entering the kingdom of God. Because of our minds like, man, I have in mind what the person I want to share my faith with, share my testimony, evangelize to, should look like, should be like, should whatever. And these Pharisees, they were the same way. They're like, these people aren't like us. They're not righteous. So why would Jesus spend time with them? Hey, be careful. You know, I have to check myself sometimes, because it's very easy to say, man, you know, this guy doesn't look, you know, all clean, or, you know, the way that maybe he'll be accepting to what I'm about to share. It's not about us. You know, share anyway. Give your heart anyway. Open your home anyway. God will bless. The thing that got me in this is that these Pharisees had the audacity to judge Jesus. They're like, he's eating with sinners and tax collectors. He's Jesus, really? Why aren't you eating with him? You got all the money. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Man, they had the nicest places, the nicest clothes, the nicest everything. But man, in our hearts sometimes, we're like, man, that's too much for me, Jesus. That's a higher calling. Well, it's okay. It's okay to answer Jesus' higher calling. The key is, even though we might not say something to someone, in Jeremiah 17, it talks about the heart is deceitful beyond cure, meaning we could judge them inwardly. And then our outward sign is to do nothing about. Do nothing about someone else's possible situation. Let's take a look at someone else that was judged according to his situation. Let's go on down to Luke 16, verse 19. And this may be a more familiar scripture. Lazarus and the rich man. Well, the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, verse 19. As Jesus continued, resolutely set on Jerusalem, he had some things to teach along the way. He says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came out and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you're in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Doesn't that sound familiar? Jesus is laying out, man, this rich man, who he said, I'm not rich. Well, that's all in perspective. Received his good things while he was on earth, according to the parable. I read this for many years, thinking, man, how can this guy judge this beggar sitting at the gate? He was poor. He didn't have anything. He has sores, the dog's licking on him. It's just, it's not the best picture or situation. The reality is, I was, and still at times am, a lot like the rich man. I look at someone's situation, and I can judge before I even open my mouth to find out what's really going on. You know, my wife has had to help me over the years. And, you know, she's really big on, you know, if someone's, you know, they got the sign and need food, need help, or she's like, man, you know, I just always keep a dollar to you, you know, just to give to them, right? And I'm thinking, like, stop digging in your purse while you pulling up to the, you know. She's like, okay, well, just have it ready. But the harder thing is, you know, I'm not going to judge their situation. You know, that's where they are right now. Like, can I help them out with a little something? I tell you first, I'm just like, really? Man, they about to go here or go buy this or get that. And I'm like, oh. But then just reading this, and I'm like, ah. I'm just like the rich dude, man. I'm like, I didn't even get a person a chance. You know, I'm rolling up the window, you know, locking the door, you know, and just really. I mean, God has ways in our daily life of showing us how to soften our heart. My excuse, many times, it wasn't I didn't want to do anything, but I was busy. You know, I had to get somewhere and, oh, man, to stop. And, it'd take more time. 30 seconds. Really? That's not a lot of time. But my heart wasn't there. Being generous. I was convicted by her generosity to be more generous. Right? Well, let me bring this point home. I think too many of us sit in our mansions. Our mansions could be an apartment. It could be a house that we're renting. It could be a bedroom that we have in somebody else's house that they're allowing us to sleep in. Great! The thing is, we're comfortable and we're willing to judge those around us without taking the time to give them the seeds that are going to help them be where we possibly are as part of God's kingdom, or the opportunity to know who and what God is to possibly help change their situation. Maybe it's the physical that they need change, but maybe it's the spiritual that they just can't get out of the rut so that they can change the physical. My plea is that we won't, like myself, keep looking for the perfect person to share our faith with or share our testimony with. I mean, I give you one yesterday. I was gassing up my car at Kroger, you know, saving 3 cents. But anyway, I'm pumping the gas, and it's this guy over here, and I hear this music going in the car. It was actually really good music. It wasn't jazz, but it was something from, like, I don't know, when I was growing up. So anyway, it was really nice. And I'm thinking, I saw the little baby seat in the back of the car, and, you know, he's a young dad, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm gassing up, he's gassing up. You know, I got the invitation, burned a hole in my pocket, maybe I just, you know, hey, you know. And I was like, oh, man, but, you know, he's probably, you know, finishing up, and I'm finishing up, and he looks like he's got it all together. All right, I'm going to go. So I left. I mean, I don't know what God can do, I don't know his situation. But I know that I went through this whole process of thinking through, man, let me just share something that's free. And maybe it'll come with something, maybe it won't. Man, I took advantage of an opportunity a little later that day. But that one was a miss. Again, like the rich man. Oh, he's good. I don't worry about him. That's just like saying, you know, he don't need no clothes. He don't need no food. He okay. God wants to use me. He wants to use our lives to impact others. And I got to the point where back in November, I was praying that God would again help me be a part of someone making a decision to follow him. Just studying the Bible with them, praying with them, and just, you know, just seeing them go through this whole transition. I was like, man, is this really it? Or, you know, I think I'm okay. Is God enough? You know, what decisions do I need to make? And I said, it's been too long. And I'm just like, man, even the whole, like, letting the guy drive off in the blue car, his car was blue, and not saying something. I'm like, I used to, like, jump on it. I'm like, hey, you know, people are like, hey, you all right? You know, but I got so far away from it, and that it wasn't natural for me just to, hey, you know, do you have a church home? Or, man, have you ever studied the Bible before? Or, you know, I'm glad you gassed up your car, but man, you know what? I heard something today. Or I read something today. I mean, I just want to share it with you. That's how easy it used to be. Now I've become like this flabby muscle that I got to like, hi, you know? And man. But nonetheless, you know, maybe that's just me. But understand, God gives us opportunities. And he gave me one. And, you know, my friend and brother is here today, you know, fired up, loving Jesus, and just being a part of that with him was so encouraging to me. But it felt like God answered my prayer, because I'm like, God, I can't do anything, but just let me be a part of what you're doing. As a disciple of Jesus, my mission in life is to make disciples. My purpose is to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. My question is, are you living out your purpose and mission? Or are you waiting for the perfect opportunity for God to motivate you? Let's let you marinate on that for a minute. Turn your Bibles forward to Luke 17. And this will be our last scripture. We look at faith is what opens the narrow door. And this is where I feel like Jesus kind of brought at least this part to either a conclusion or a crescendo, or whatever you want to call it. This is like the fireworks at the end of the show. And he said in Luke 17, verse 1, he says, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. Woe to the person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, bro, brother, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. We'll stop right there. Man. Mustard seed faith. Forgiveness. Ooh, big. Jesus said, look, if we challenge somebody that's hurt us, or we confront this situation, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. I had no idea. Or, you know what? I did know, but I'm sorry. Forgive me. Okay, do it. That's what the scriptures say. Now, am I saying that's easy to do? No. But that's what God is calling us to do. And then, going a little further, not only that, they say if they do it over and over and over again, and they come back to you, and say, oh, please, could you forgive me? I can't understand exactly how much that is, but that's a lot. The calling on our hearts and our lives, if we're following Jesus and being obedient, is to forgive. Are you challenged to forgive that difficult person in your life? The one that God's allowed to be there. Maybe you work with them every day. You know what? Maybe in your mind, it appears to be your significant other. I said in your mind, right? How about your children? Have they done something to you? You're like, I'm drawing the line here. My daughter's only 4, okay? I can't draw too many lines yet. Okay? But I still have to have the heart to forgive. And we got to work through it. That's what God is calling. And I love the apostles. These are the ones that are with Jesus. They're like, increase our faith. What are you talking about? Really? Again? We got to forgive? And my friend, I mean, they wronged me. They really wronged me. Matter of fact, they went on Instagram and posted pictures about me that they cropped because they're not true. And I'm supposed to forget. Oh, man. Increase my faith. Here it is. What's more important than being obedient to God's word? Absolutely nothing. A mustard seed of faith can move a huge tree. Jesus talked in another gospel, he said, man, your prayer and your faith can move mountains. What mountain in your life do you need God to move right now? Is it a financial issue? Is it a marital concern or challenge? Is it being effective in your parenting? Or is it not having wholehearted devotion to God's kingdom and his righteousness? Or maybe for the teens, I'll just talk to teens. Maybe you started studying the Bible, or maybe you thought about studying the Bible. Are you being hindered from committing to continue to study and carrying that out to your baptism and your conversion and forgiveness of your sins so you can be a monumental impact on your friends, your family, and those around you? The key is that many times, even especially for young people and for many of us, relationships or friendships, they lead to that double door, which is a wide door, okay, which Satan is holding open for us. And we just walk right on through versus being obedient and going through the narrow door that takes more diligent study, that takes more focus, that takes more effort. That God's holding open and waiting. My encouragement to us is have the faith to say, move, mountain, move. Move, tree, move. Because, man, God wants to do some incredible things. You know, even if you're here, you're visiting this morning, you're like, what are you talking about? Great question. Ask somebody. Person invites you, maybe somebody sitting next to you. They can fill you in a bit on this. We can sit down, look in the scriptures, and understand what it means to really have that heart to pursue Jesus, to stay resolute and focused on going through the narrow door, and to really be fired up about being part of God's kingdom. So let us not allow excuses to hinder us, judging other people, hindering them, but allow faith and obedience to God's word to open the narrow door so we can have a relationship with Jesus.